Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks with Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Alex Piusko. He's the CEO of Douglas Bay Capital PLC, which trades on the London AIM market. The stock symbol is DBAY. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jack, for having us here and using your platform to present our company.
Okay. So let's can you start off with perhaps an overview of Douglas Bay's investment strategy?
Yes. Well, look, what we are a holding company for quoted and unquoted investments. So we are a traditional value investor. However, we had a tweak, and we tend to be, we come from an active approach. So we like effectively to be in a position where we can influence the investments we make. And therefore, we usually try to have a very hands-on approach, take board seats, and as well see control of the investments. So what we do, we take minority, but even majority investments, up to 100% of control. And currently, if you look at the kind of investments we've done so far, we have bought 100% stake in one of logistics business, but at the same time, we invest in, and we have minority stakes in other businesses, such as tea plantation and construction companies, where we effectively try to sit and influence the board and the outcome of a company in the tradition of an active value investor.
And what is your strategy? Do you have a specific exit in mind for each of these investments? Is there like a time period, or what are your goals?
Well, in this way, we completely differentiate ourselves from what perhaps could be a private equity fund. So we don't have any holding periods. We can and we decide whether to sell or to exit an investment according to what we believe the potential of this investment is at a point in time. So we are happy holders of stock and of our investments for very long term, provided that we can see an opportunity for the company to continue to grow, to create shareholder value. If an investment reaches a target price, we are happy sellers of the assets and try to find a new home and a better home for the company.
Okay, so it's an important distinction from the traditional private equity. Is essentially you're a holding company. I guess you might want to say you're a mini Berkshire Hathaway.
Well, the idea and the spirit is very similar. Yes, and actually the school where we come from is very similar of the value investor approach. Warren Buffett uses, and obviously we do that in a substantially smaller scale, and we focus on medium and smaller size stocks here in Europe as our main investment and theme, but the idea is pretty much the same. Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about your first acquisition. Now Douglas Bay is a relatively new company, right?
It is very new, actually. It's in existence since October last year, when the Douglas Bay was formed, seized by Luxy Partners, a hedge fund and an active investor, an active activist investor, actually, here in Europe. And it was formed exactly at the time of the acquisition of TDG, which is one of the largest European logistics companies with something like $1.2 billion of turnover and 7,000 employees, present in 10 countries around Europe. So it's a sizable company, which we bought exactly in October last year. And we're currently working hard in order to make this investment work and to create value for our shareholders.
Okay. And what so it's impressive that you were actually able to close this deal in October of 2008.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody could appreciate what kind of a difficult environment that was for financing that deal. How has TDG worked out so far?
Well, actually, very fine. It's a very good investment. The business, and this is actually probably the explanation why we were able to finance take private of a company in a market which was extremely tight for credit at that point in time. I think actually, I can't think of any other take privates and that happened in the UK since, but I might be wrong. And the reason why it was the asset was so was effectively financeable and why we are so relaxed about the investment in the current market environment is because the essence of logistics is outsourcing, and therefore there is an element, a substantial element of resilience in the business model in an economic downturn, because companies need to save costs, and therefore one of the points and one of the pots of cost savings is exactly logistics. So actually, logistics business in this current market environment, to a certain extent, have an anti-cyclical and a counter-cyclical element and are thriving. The other thing which is obviously quite interesting in the investment of TDG is the fact that, and this is a theme recurrent in all our investments, is a company with a strong asset backing. Now, when we look at investments, we usually look at asset backing from a balance sheet perspective. So does the company have properties? Does the company have receivables, and specifically what is the liquidation value? But the other thing which we look at obviously as long-term contracts and stable cash flow, predictable cash flow. And TDG ticks the box on both. So if you open up the balance sheet of Douglas Bay Capital, you will see we have a substantial amount of property assets in there, which obviously belong to TDG. And we're talking something about 6 million square feet of real estate. And that is all secondary industrial real estate, but quite interesting assets with very good locations throughout Europe. So when we started looking at TDG, effectively there were those two elements. On one side, the strong asset backing. On the other side, the nature of the business, which in an economic recession proves to be resilient, that made us decide to buy the company.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit more insight into description of the business of TDG?
Yeah. Well, the situation in Europe is substantially different to the way the market for transport and logistics is organized in the US. So European companies tend to be all rounders. So a TDG or, for example, a DHL here in Europe or a Kühne Nagel, they tend to provide an entire range of end-to-end services. So what we do is freight forwarding, we do the warehousing, we do transport. The difference in TDG, and which makes TDG special amongst the players here in Europe, despite its size. So it's not one of the biggest. It's one of the biggest, but not the biggest. What makes it special is the fact that TDG, over years, has been focusing on niche markets. So, for example, we are probably one of the market leaders in the chemicals logistics. So chemical logistics is quite interesting aspect because although currently is probably the weakest spot in our investment, in the sense that, obviously, trading volumes are affecting the trading of that part of that division. And the beauty of the chemicals logistics is that it's highly specialized and you need permits. So effectively you have very high barriers to entry. And that makes that part of that business very attractive in the long term. So because as soon as the volumes come back, then that business will achieve substantially higher returns. But this is not the only specialization TDG has. They have always focused on niche markets. For example, paper and packaging is another industry where TDG has historically been very strong. Temperature control, so what we do, we store foods and goods imported in the UK, and we have the largest UK network for that, in cold stores, so which are effectively big fridges, and where these goods are delivered and stored before they are distributed to either manufacturer or retailers. So it's a business which is actually a combination of various businesses and therefore provides the specific and this edge which allows the company actually to trade with Maya margins that are higher than the average logistics company. The other thing which is quite interesting about CVG and which makes it quite particular as a logistics company is the fact that TDG has, over the years, invested substantially in developing new products, and in particular, which is a product which is currently highly in demand in the current market, and we have developed a technology platform which is able, effectively, to take out substantial amount of the cost base of the logistics cost in corporations. And this is a technology platform where we effectively outsource the entire logistics management of a corporation, and we take it effectively in TDG's hands. And those are projects which are driven. It's not a commoditized end of the market. It's effectively a know-how-driven service we provide. Okay, we don't do any transport for those projects. We don't do any warehousing for those customers. We effectively subcontract everything, but the technology we have and the know-how we have allows us to do that in an optimized way and therefore generate those cost savings for customers. And those cost savings, as I was saying, are substantial. If you think about CORES, which is steel manufacturer, or aggregate industry, which is a division of Holcim, the cement manufacturer, we're talking about multi-billion companies in terms of turnover, and companies which have an extremely high use of logistics. And those companies are taking 10% of the cost of savings on the logistics cost makes a substantial difference.
So from what I understand is that your main, I guess, TDG's value proposition and the reason why the business is doing well in the recession is that you're actually able to offer cost savings to your customers.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So what's the how are you going to what is your plan for sort of creating
and
value?
If I can interrupt you, the other thing is that generally, if you think about it, although obviously there is an impact on volumes, and if you see where the competitors are trading and where we are trading as well, volumes are down. We can't deny that and we can't ignore that. But at the same time, as long as the world doesn't stop, and it shouldn't, even in an economic recession, you need to transport goods and you need to warehouse goods and you need to manage logistics. So the essence of logistics and the fact that obviously it's an outsourced service is there is an intrinsic resilience in the business model, which arguably investors or people in the market haven't appreciated that much, which generates the opportunity for companies like us to review again industry structure and to identify investment opportunities like this one.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about that, the point you're making about people not understanding completely that niche. Do you find that investors, the investment community, completely understands your stock? Do they really understand the Douglas-based story? And if not, what is it that that they're missing? Which, if they did understand, would obviously create a different valuation on the stock.
Well, Jack, the stock is closely held because 93% is currently controlled by the seed investor, Luxy Partners. So there has been historically very little free float, and we have actually not actively marketed the stock, and we're going to change that in the light of the fact that we see quite a lot of opportunities currently in the market, especially in the distressed companies which we want to invest into. So at a later point in the year, we'll be in a form or another come to market and look for raising funds, and we're considering that to pursue other investment opportunities. And at that point in time, obviously, we will be substantially more active in communicating the Douglas Bay story. And this is not just a TDG story, although obviously TDG is a very good example of the way we think about investments, but there is a story about Douglas Bay and about investments which we're looking at currently as potential new investment opportunities, which I think will find good followers, good resonance in the market.
Mm-hmm. What are you, let's talk about a little bit more about what are your criteria for considering a potential investment right now? What are the key things that you look for?
Well, generally, we like something that is cheap. It's as simple as that, but the cheap needs to be as well, okay, asset-backed. What we like to see a form, as I was saying, of a, what would you like to be, have an estimate, okay, about the strength of the business, okay, if something goes wrong. Okay, so there needs to be an underlying asset base, or there needs to be an underlying long-term contract which allows us to model the cash flows of the business and to model the resilience of the business going forward. And this has nothing to do with an economic recession. This is the investment approach we use in every time, because that is the mentality we have, and that's the way we actually approach investments. We look at what is the downside first, and then everything which comes after that is upside, and that allows us to generate the return.
Okay. So, it's similar to the traditional, what is it, the Graham and Dodd, you know, value approach, where you want to have that measure of protection and get something for really below its almost book value.
Exactly. If you get it above book value, you have a very good view what intrinsic value is. Mm-hmm. And if you look investments such as TDG, you need to look at what you effectively, we own one of the leading companies in logistics in Europe, plus a substantial property assets of something like 6 million square feet of property assets, which has themselves a value.
You mentioned the real estate component. Do you think is that sort of the hidden jewel in the TDG investment? Is that the part that might be worth more than the actual company?
There is substantial value in there, and no denying about that, and it is one of the key elements of our investment theme in TDG, and we're working to find and to structure ways to highlight this value. As we have already announced, we're currently looking at incorporating the properties separately and separately manage those. And you need to think that TDG is effectively a company which has 100 years of history. Mm-hmm. And so in fact, it goes really back to the origins of logistics and transport in the UK. And some of those sites are extremely interesting sites from a location perspective for medium and some of them long-term development opportunities. And that is, again, something which we would like to capture as investors. Obviously, in the current market condition, that is impossible. But fundamentally, the value is there, and it's up for us, Douglas Bay Capital, to ensure that this value is first reflected in the share price, but more importantly, extracted at a certain point in time.
Okay. So now let me ask you, in your opinion, do you see the value of those assets reflected in the current stock price?
Obviously not. And I think that it's more evident the fact that, for example, management yesterday announced that we have been again in the market buying shares. and we're pretty confident that the share is substantially undervalued. It's, however, up for us to ensure that that value will be one day reflected in the share price and one day will be as well realized.
Okay. So, you know, are you finding that there are a lot of, opportunities in distressed or really severely undervalued companies that you're being presented with?
Well, the other thing is we actually try to research our ideas ourselves through our network of contacts. So they tend to be, we don't tend to participate in auctions, which are anyway crowded or used to be crowded by other private equity players and so on. What we do is we usually try to research our opportunities ourselves and identify the opportunities. And actually, in the current market conditions, it's a fantastic market to be out there buying assets. And it's a fantastic market as well if one can convince sellers to close a deal to acquire those assets at very, very good prices. And the other thing which is quite interesting from Douglas Bay Capital perspective is that we have a substantial flexibility in the way we make acquisitions and new investments because on one hand we can obviously use funds and debt financing as other investors can, but at the same time we can issue stock which for some of the potential sellers in the current market is quite an appeal because it doesn't crystallize the value and gives them some upside, future upside in value creation, which we bring to the party.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you share with us your background and also some of the key players on your management team?
Yeah, the management team is actually quite broad to set up because, again, as we're saying at the start, we have a very much a hands-on approach. And therefore what we've tried to put together is a team where we have people coming from the industry, people coming from a restructuring background, people coming from investment banking. So myself, my background is investment banking with Rothschilds for nearly 10 years, and then for the last 5 years I worked on the investment side with Luxy Partners, our seed investor. But for example, if you take Jeff Bicknell, the finance director, he's a very senior, seasoned restructuring expert, coming from automotive industry, and then he spent some 10 years in the UK IT and software sector, restructuring that part of the market very successfully. So what we try to do is effectively to generate a team of people that can operate together with the management team and empower the management team of the companies which we invest into. At the start, obviously, a little bit more hands-on, but then effectively put in the framework to allow that management team to flourish and to implement a value creation plan. And that is exactly what we're doing, for example, in the case of TDG, where Mike Brannigan, who has been now appointed in February, March as new CEO of TDG, is doing a fantastic job in turning the company around.
Okay. Now, Alex, what's your vision for Douglas Bay? Where do you see the company 3 to 5 years from now? I know it's probably difficult to talk about that in today's environment, but ultimately, what is your goal for this thing?
Well, we are very active currently looking for new investment opportunities, either logistics, but as well outside of logistics. Obviously, there is an appeal of looking currently in logistics because we have an existing platform there which we can leverage on and create synergies. So there is a substantial element. There's a little trick which we would like to take benefit of. But as well outside the logistics segment and the sector, there are opportunities there which hopefully some of those opportunities we're looking at will be acquisitions which can implement and execute. And the intention is effectively to create and grow the company in this way, and on a very, very shareholder value focused approach, decide from time to time to depart from investments and distribute either the proceeds to shareholders or reinvest the cash if we find at that point in time that we have new opportunities which can provide a 20% plus return IR, I'm talking about, to our shareholders, because that is what we're aiming for, is to provide, and we're aiming for a 20% plus IR.
Okay. So let's finally, let me ask you, in your opinion, why should investors consider Douglas Bay's stock today?
Well, look, as I was saying before, and we just announced that most of the management, a big part of the management team over the last couple of days has been actively in the market to acquire shares. And we are strong believers in investment we made it back in October. And as you say, it was a challenge to get it financed, which we managed to get it financed. And we currently, management team with TDG is doing a fantastic job in turning this business around. And so we have an element, if we just look at TDG itself, as a company which is generating cash in a difficult market, which has a strong property portfolio, which we think has substantial upside. And we're talking medium-term development upside on some of the sites. And we have as well what I think the Douglas Bay team, which is looking for new investment opportunities with the aim to create substantial shareholder return. And if you compare everything against what actually was the initial investment, which was made by our seed investor at 10p, and the stock currently is trading between 7 and 8p. Actually, Douglas Bay is trading at a discount to the original investment. Okay, is trading at a slight discount to its net asset value, which we think is actually undervaluing the company. Plus, there is an opportunity that some of the acquisitions we are looking at currently materialize, and they will create additional value creation potential for investors. So I think there is a story around TDG, without any doubt, if you think about it, we just bought the asset actually because we completed the transaction in October last year. So it's a pretty fresh acquisition. But there is new opportunities which we're looking at, and the market is actually very good market for snapping up assets in the current point in time and create value out of this.
Okay, well, excellent. Alex, thank you for sharing the story, and I'm sure our audience will look forward to following your stock in the months ahead.
Thank you so much.